It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doty Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Hey, how's everybody doing this weekend? How's it going, Chris L? Welcome to the family. Perfect timing. 13 months. Happy anniversary as a channel member. It is Saturday night, February 5th, 2022. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony. I want to thank you for tuning in as always. We have some pretty interesting topics to get into tonight. Obviously, the big one, we feared it on Thursday. It ended up becoming a reality. Yes, Goldberg is back. Instead of Tribal Chief, it's Tribal Grief. I'll be honest with you, I originally was going to title this Tribal Queef, but you know, when I did further research, is queef considered a vulgar word? I mean, I know what it's supposed to mean. But, yeah, probably not appropriate to use as a thumbnail on YouTube. So we went with Tribal Grief and said, now, look. Oh, by the way, people are asking me, oh, what's on the shirt? This was the shirt I was telling you all about the other day. Undisputed Era. Now, will this guy break down the forbidden door on Tuesday? Do you guys want to talk about that first? You want to talk about this first? You know, this really has nothing to do with this, but you want to talk about Tony Khan's latest announcement, the forbidden door? Oh, is this what happens when you're down 14% in viewership on Dynamite? Nah, I think they were going to do it anyway, but yeah, let's talk about it. Yesterday on Rampage, it was announced that Tony Khan has a major announcement on this Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, which is going to take place in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And about half an hour after Rampage went off the air, Tony Khan posting three interesting tweets. And I'm going to share them with you right now. Tweet number one. The forbidden door. Oop. See, that's what happens when you have automatic play. All right, let's try it again. There we go. The forbidden door can be... Now, look, for our audience out there, I know you're a lot more intelligent than the average viewer. So keep forbidden door on the back of your mind when we get into possibilities. The forbidden door can be opened for anyone from any promotion in the world, whether or not it's a company AEW is in good terms with. Even if it's someone from a company that is open for business, they're also welcome to slam the door in the face of their prior company. All right. Now, let's think about forbidden door for a minute. If you are a free agent and you are no longer under contract for any company, I know this sounds like Captain Obvious, but when we get into something later about Mickey James, you'll understand why we actually have to explain this. Forbidden door. If you're no longer under contract for any company, there's no forbidden door. You're a free agent. You sign with someone. That's it. If WWE signed someone who's no longer under contract with, if Brian Cage is let go from AEW and he signs a deal with WWE, is that the forbidden door? No. So forbidden door is someone who is part of another organization, who is being given permission to work AEW. That's forbidden door. I mean, look, I know it sounds like semantics, but it's not. That's the definition. So now you go back and you revisit this post. This is a general statement, in my opinion. This statement right there may have nothing to do with Wednesday. It could, when we get into the possibilities of who will sign with AEW on Wednesday, all right? So just keep that in the back of your mind. I know a lot of people immediately thinking New Japan Pro Wrestling, are we going to get something from it? Hey, that's a possibility. I don't think so. But this tweet could have been written a year ago. Think about it. Shouldn't this tweet have been written in November of 2020? Not 2021, November of 2020. When they had to sit down with the five families and discussed, we got to do a little for each other to survive through this pandemic. We don't have live crowds at that time. So this tweet could have been written over a year ago, and it would have been fine. I'm not criticizing Tony Khan in the least. Now we get to tweet number two. There we go. With a great showing in tonight's Rampage title bout, Isaiah Cassidy has earned a qualifying match for a spot in the Face of the Revolution ladder match with a TNT title shot at stake. Remember, Sammy Guevara is the current champion. Isaiah Cassidy will be in this match. Keep that thought in the back of your mind when we get into possibilities. His opponent will debut Isaiah versus who on Dynamite. Okay, all right. Whoever signed with AEW is going to be taking on Isaiah Cassidy, the wrong Cassidy. Isaiah Cassidy for a spot in the Face of the Revolution ladder match. All right, now we get to the biggie. Eat the big one. Eat the big one, everyone. Here we go. Here's the big one. Puts it all together. The big announcement for Wednesday's Dynamite that we referenced on AEW Rampage, which is a free agent debut. Free agent. And the person walking through the forbidden door are one and the same. They're walking in the door, signing a contract, and then slamming the door shut Wednesday on Dynamite. Now, if you're a free agent, I don't know how that and the forbidden door can be the same. All right, again, that might sound like semantics, but it's not. If you're a free agent, look, maybe you were unhappy with your previous employer. So you're a free agent, but the forbidden door and free agent, I think we're kind of commingling a little bit. So he specified free agent. So it knocks out the person I would love to see, which we will get into. But I think it narrows it down probably to just one person. I put a little poll right for our friends tuning in live. I think the poll could stay up after the show too. And we put up four people. There was a fifth one, which would have been my choice. I didn't put it in the poll. But let's, for a few moments, get into the realistic possibilities. The names that everybody has been talking about the last couple of days, and it really only stems, it only breaks down to four people. A fifth, which would be my choice, but I don't see it happening. Let's get into it. First off, I know a lot of people were talking about Killer Cross. Obviously, I am a huge fan of Killer Cross. He is a friend of the family. And believe me, I would enjoy seeing Killer Cross with his Killer Cross character in AEW. Would love to see Scarlett in AEW as well. But I go back and I think about his opponent. It would be Isaiah Cassidy. Would Killer Cross versus Isaiah Cassidy kind of be a match that we would really want to see? Not for a spot in the Face of the Revolution. Now, Killer Cross, you know, obviously has a huge gripe, a huge chip on his shoulder. But Face of the Revolution, I just don't feel like it clicks. So although I would love to see Killer Kross in AEW, I do not believe Killer Kross will be the choice on this Wednesday's Dynamite. Now we go to the next one. A lot of people, I know it's a little cut off, but it's the best I could do. A little short for time tonight. Now we go to, and you know what, Mike from New York, I'm jumping ahead. Johnny Gargano's not on my list. And I'll tell you why I thought about it, decided not to put Johnny Gargano on this list. For the simple reason, you go back to the tone of Tony Khan's last tweet. Somebody's going to sign the contract, then slam the forbidden door closed. Johnny Gargano is, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, Johnny Gargano is just such a good, positive guy. I don't see that type of attitude where he would sign a contract. You see, because Tony Khan, on those tweets, has set up the picture that whoever it is was probably not happy with their previous employer. I don't put Johnny Gargano in that category. That's why I don't have Johnny Gargano on my list to get into today. But, hey, you brought him up. Definitely worth mentioning. I don't believe it's Johnny Gargano. Anyway, Wyndham. A lot of people would love to see Wyndham. Every time there's a hint or a tease of somebody new signing with AEW, you got the clickbait army on YouTube telling you that he's, oh no, this Wednesday. Wyndham is doing a movie. I know, and I haven't had a chance to look at them yet. There is a YouTube channel that has got these wild vignettes just posted very recently. It has Bray Wyatt teased in him, and it has his brother as well teased in him, if you're not aware of it yet. In fact, you know what? After this show, when I go like this, I will link you to the channel, and you could go watch them. They're pretty awesome. Wyndham, he has been a free agent for a while, and I don't see Wyndham being that person to sign the contract, slam the door closed. It just doesn't fit that mantra. Plus, Isaiah Cassidy versus Wyndham, I don't know how much that would kind of mesh. So although I would love to see Wyndham, the former Bray Wyatt, in AEW, I don't believe he will be the choice as well. So now we go to my pick. Talk to me. Oh, no, that's actually not my pick. My pick is next. Keith Lee. A lot of people think it could be Keith Lee. Believe it or not, I think Keith Lee, if anybody really, really follows his NXT career more than anything, that son of a bitch can go with anybody. In fact, most of these wrestlers could go with anybody. Keith Lee would be an excellent choice. Now, for those that don't know, and I know some pictures surfaced online tonight, I have not downloaded them yet. We will show them on Monday. Congrats, Keith Lee and Mia Yim, getting married, I believe, yesterday. So they are married. If they went on their honeymoon, I don't see the honeymoon being cut short so he could show up on AEW Dynamite to sign a contract. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see Keith Lee in AEW. But remember something that I have said. And look, anybody that goes back to the Wednesday Night Dynamite shows that I started, about 2 years ago? Keith Lee was my favorite NXT wrestler for a majority of the time he was there. Every other week, I would bring it up. So I am a huge Keith Lee fan. But one thing that nobody seems to answer, and I have yet to see anybody interview him to ask this question. Maybe it's a little too personal. Maybe it's not. Maybe he has answered it, and I just haven't seen it. But I always thought that his release with WWE may have been concerns about health. And I know he is working out, and I know that he's been, you know, teasing his return to wrestling. But I really have not seen that. And I don't know if he has any effects still from his illness last year. It was very serious. The guy was almost on his deathbed. It was a life and death situation. So I'm still not convinced 100%. Now, I don't put it out there because it's none of my business if they want to reveal it, but I don't, it's not my right to know. But I'm just telling you the reason why, you know, something just says to me, you know, I'm that doesn't mean an indie promotion or another Fed wouldn't bring him in. I mean, he looks like he is healthy. You know, I have not heard any, you know, issues at all with him. WWE could have just been extremely, I don't want to use paranoid, but you saw how they handled Daniel Bryan years ago. You know, and they don't take, you know, any issues with health, you know, lightly. And by the way, you know, we will in a few moments talk about Nia Jax and that wild claim that she made. And believe me, I'm not exaggerating when I say, if I was the FBI, I would definitely get in touch with Nia Jax. But we'll talk about that later. So Keith Lee, as much as I would love to see it be him, might be on his honeymoon, and I'm still not 100%, you know, convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that there might be, you know, I hope to God that he is 110% healthy and can return at full capacity. We don't know. We don't know. So that's why I don't choose him. All right, my pick. My pick. Drum roll, please. Jackson Riker. No, fuck you. With all due respect, I have nothing against him personally. No, no, no. I wouldn't even want to see it. He could go the Matt Cardona route and start going hardcore and slice himself to oblivion. He could dress up as Joe Biden. Jackson Riker, no. Get off my screen. This is my pick. I know it ain't. Oh, no, that's not my pick. See, a little scattered tonight. All right, this is everybody's pick. Jeff Hardy. Now, this is interesting, and I'll tell you why. Jeff Hardy, he was burned out. The night he walked out on that house show, I came up here and said, there was nothing that made me believe that he was under the influence of anything. And I said, I think he just got so burned out and he walked through the crowd just as almost like a, you know, his, just a, like a figurative, you know, that was a symbol that he was done and he's walking out and walking through the fans that one last, he was burned out. Now, he is very, very upset about WWE with the drug testing and the alcohol testing at the very end. Now, if I was Jeff Hardy, and this is obviously easy for me to say and easy for you to say, but if I'm Jeff Hardy, with my past, and it wasn't too long ago that he was arrested for being under the influence, all right, with his past, there's got to be a part of him that says, you know what, look, I don't blame WWE for wanting these tests. You know, hey, after my history and my past, if I was WWE, I would be more questioning why they didn't test it. So I don't know how much of animosity and hatred Jeff Hardy has for this company, for WWE. So Tony Khan may be painting this picture, this extreme picture of bitterness that may not actually be the case. Jeff Hardy is beloved by fans. Jeff Hardy, I don't think, wants to go on this, you know, tour of fuck you, WWE, fuck you, WWE, fuck you, WWE. Remember that tweet with Tony Khan said, slamming the forbidden door closed, and, you know, it just came off as whoever it is extremely disgruntled. Now, obviously, there is some animosity, but I think Jeff Hardy, he just wants to be happy. He just wants to enjoy himself. Now, My honest gut feeling is that it is going to be Jeff Hardy. Now, here is the tricky part of it. Jeff Hardy, it's only been about, what? It's less than 3 months. It's less than 3 months. So, did WWE and Jeff Hardy come to some type of an agreement if it was a 90-day no-compete? And if they did come to an agreement where he would be out of his contract sooner, would he come out on AEW, cut a promo, and shit all over WWE? I'm not sure of that. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if it's Jeff Hardy's debut in AEW. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't say a damn word. I wouldn't be surprised if he signs the contract, shakes Tony Khan's hand, goes in the match, wins the match, advances, goes to the face of the Revolution ladder match. So I think Jeff Hardy, this is probably the likely scenario. And again, remember the opponent, Isaiah Cassidy. It fits like a glove. So I could see Jeff Hardy being the one. Now, I'm going to show you, finally, my choice, the one that I would like it to be. And I'm sure a lot of you would probably feel the same. Mustafa Ali. Sure, there could be lawsuits. There could be lawsuits, without a doubt. This would really challenge independent contractor, being an independent contractor. Mustafa Ali has not been on TV since last year. He wants out of WWE. You think of the name of the tournament, Face of the Revolution. If there was anybody that would fit that tone of that tweet. Remember this tweet. This was the last tweet. This is the first one. Let's go to the, okay, here's the teaser. And then let's go to the last tweet. Walking through the forbidden door, signing a contract, slamming the door shut. Who would want to slam that freaking door more than anybody else? I think it's Mustafa Ali. So, do I think it's going to happen? No, probably not. But if you look at the tone of Tony Khan's tweets and the idea that someone would be so resentful, you know, I don't see that resentment coming out publicly in the mouth of Jeff Hardy. I could see this with Mustafa Ali, especially when you think of the tone. The face of the revolution, somebody who is not happy about their previous employer, who wants out, Ali would be my choice. This is a fantasy choice. I'm not making a prediction. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think we all agree that it's likely going to be Jeff Hardy. But for me, you think of Lex Luger, back on Nitro, what is he doing here? You think of Medusa throwing a title. I said it jokingly yesterday on social media. Too bad Ali doesn't have a WWE championship. Maybe he has an old 205 Live title, but that wouldn't make sense. You could see him having a Medusa moment, showing up in an AEW ring. He's got the WWE contract in his hand, and they run it through a paper shredder. That would be the new Medusa. Shredding the WWE contract right in the middle of the ring. You're trying to tell me that wouldn't be for all of us, you know, that see these wars? You don't think that would be like the most epic moment of 2022 for AEW fans? So, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I am just fantasizing. I think a lot of you out there would absolutely love to see that. The guy gets his release. The guy signs with AEW. The guy wins a match, goes to this tournament at the same time. It's the ultimate this. The thing is, what would WWE do about it? If he were to walk out, shred that contract, sign with AEW, be very interesting. You would think WWE would have to sue this guy. They would have to. Because if they don't, and they just turn a blind eye, that opens the door for others to do the same. That's why I think a lot of people don't understand why WWE has not let him out of his deal. Because the way he went about it on social media, no matter how much you dislike WWE, that's not professional. You sign a contract, you're getting paid. WWE doesn't want to use you at all. You know, he's still cashing those checks. Now, if he were to show a picture on social media for the last couple of months, sitting on his table, all of the checks, and he's not cashing them because this is not how, I mean, he wouldn't do that. So WWE has to draw the line somewhere, whether you like it or not. And I would think that if he were to do that in AEW, WWE would be forced. They would have to force their hand. Because that sends a message to others. Don't you fucking think about it. And I think that would be the official war between AEW and WWE. So we will see what happens. But it's going to be interesting to see what the rating is going to be on Wednesday. Because look, I said it last week. I think 954 is still an excellent number. Yeah, it went down 14%. You know, I noticed that not one quarter hit a million viewers. So there wasn't as much interest, but you're going to have these peaks and valleys. You have it with every promotion. So I didn't think 954 was a bad number. Yeah, it went down 14%, but, you know, this is being really, really hyped up. And if Jeff Hardy ends up being the one, it's going to be interesting to see how that affects future ratings with AEW. So we have some fun. Calling on Mark says, I put way too much stock in Ali. Why? Look, I like the guy. He's extremely talented. But I don't know how old you are. And I'm not holding that against you. But I remember, you know, the Monday Night Wars. And I remember, you know, the moment with Medusa throwing a title in the trash. I remember Luger showing up on Nitro. I remember Ravishing Rick Rude being on three shows that week. Everybody thinks it was only Raw and Nitro. No, it was ECW as well. But the point is, if you're really talking about a revolution, you're really talking about, fuck you, WWE, Ali is probably the one person. Maybe not huge on the food chain. Maybe not on the level of some of those other wrestlers. But you look back at the year, at 2020, and that's a big, big, plus huge set of balls to do that. Huge set of balls. We're just wrestling fans, everybody. The whole thing about wrestling is fantasy. Everything about wrestling is fantasy. It's entertainment. It's predetermined. You want the suspension of disbelief that what you're watching in the ring is real. You want the suspension of disbelief that when somebody kicks out of two, that they kicked out of two because they don't want it to count to three. When you see two people hating each other in the ring, you don't want to feel like they're going out for beers after. Everything about wrestling is fantasy. This takes that fantasy to a whole new level. All right, let's move on. By the way, just to prepare you all later, yeah, we got a hottie alert. Hottie alert coming. Hottie alert. WWE signed someone. Where are all the people? What are you, nuts? How could you sign with them? The way they treat everybody? Hey! Let's talk about Nia Jax for a minute. Because I got to tell you, you got to look at who she talked to. She didn't talk to clownwrestling.net. She is doing high-profile interviews right now. When you get on the level of Renee Paquette and others, you don't troll hosts. You say things, and you pretty much got to stand by them. And she made a claim that I'm telling you, FBI, I know that sounds exaggerated, but if I was the FBI, I would get in touch with her. I'm not kidding. Now, look, there's no secret. Nia Jax didn't believe in the COVID vaccine. several wrestlers. I totally respect anybody who wants to get it or doesn't want to get it. I've given you my reasons why I feel everybody should get it, but I know people that haven't gotten it. I have family members that haven't gotten the COVID shot. So I'm not going to shit on anybody who hasn't been vaccinated. But she painted herself in a corner that I honestly think she's got a huge problem. And I'm telling you, when you look at some wrestlers who were labeled as anti-vaxxers before, now you realize that they have been vaccinated. You could only imagine if this turns into an investigation. And let me tell you something. I guarantee you that some of you out there may know someone who got a fake COVID card. Here in New York, about 20 minutes from my house, last week it was all over the news, you could Google it, a couple of women got arrested for a $1.5 million scheme selling fake COVID cards. I'm not going to lie to you. Me, about a year ago, I Googled all over the net to try to find a place where I could buy blank COVID cards. Let me explain why. My biggest fear early on, because I've gotten three shots. I got one in January of last year, one in February of last year, and one in August of last year. My biggest fear is what happens if I lose my card? Because we talked about it months and months and months before it became a requirement. What if I have to, I'm getting married this year. What if I have to show proof of vaccine and they only accept the card and I can't find my card? So I, early on, ignorant me, thought, okay, if I get a blank card and I just transfer the information over, you know, I'm not going to sign it, but I have to. I never found a place. But there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in the vaccine that need proof of vaccination in order to do things, to work, go to the gym, go out, go to this. I know it might sound petty to everyone. Look, I don't want to get into a COVID discussion tonight, but one topic that I have even talked about in the past is if someone already had COVID and now it's being proven that somebody who had COVID that didn't have a vaccine has just as much immunity as someone with a shot. So if you already had COVID and you have antibodies, why do you have to be vaccinated? I know a lot of you right now are like, holy shit, I can't believe he's taking that stance. Yeah, because if you have antibodies, shouldn't you just have to show proof that you have antibodies, a blood test report from your doctor or something like that? So anyway, Nia Jax doesn't believe in the vaccine. And we've talked about OSHA and we've talked about vaccine requirements. Here in New York, in a lot of states, you have to be vaccinated to work. So when Nia Jax says that, you know, WWE, you know, look, you're not going to be able to go here, or we can't have you here, or you can't do a show here if you're not vaccinated, that's Captain Obvious. That's any employer. It's not controversy. But she got herself in trouble for this remark. Somebody was talking about how their body has 99% protection against viruses without a COVID shot. And she agreed with that person. But then she says, and I quote, honey, if you really think that all your favorites, think about that for a minute. She is talking to a wrestling fan. She's not talking about people in football, people in baseball, hockey, badminton. She says, if you really think that all of your favorites don't feel the same way as I do, you're sadly mistaken. I know a lot of people in many professional sports that just paid and got a real card from a doctor. That is a felony. That is a felony. To be in possession. Now, let's look at this two ways. For those that do believe in the vaccine, how many times have you seen famous people, especially, you know, you got to worry about others. get vaccinated. You don't want to kill grandma. You don't want to kill someone else. You don't want to get someone else sick. It's very, very selfish. That's one stance that people say. So when you realize there are athletes in wrestling and other sports that are walking around with a fake COVID card that never got vaccinated, they're an elevated risk to get very sick and to give it someone else. So you look at it on one stance, that is a very selfish thing to do. Look, we have heard stories. There was one moron who got arrested last year. You might remember, I think she lived in Florida, that she filled out the COVID card herself and she like totally misspelled Moderna. Like she didn't even know what to write. She just wrote anything and they arrested her. She had to go to jail. I think a year and a half she did. Can you imagine athletes getting paid millions and millions of dollars? Just think of the NBA, where you have to be vaccinated to go into certain states, and you're walking around with a fake COVID card and getting paid and working in areas that you would be banned otherwise. Look at the big stink they gave over Sarah Palin. She went to a restaurant. She has COVID, but she's not vaccinated, I don't believe. But yet she still ate in the city. Now, I'm with the restaurant that said, hey, shit happens. But you look at the selfish part of this. Those athletes making millions and millions of dollars, and they pay a doctor. To me, that's just as bad as paying a doctor for illegal roids, illegal painkillers, getting Xanax under the table, getting somas, whatever it is. You're dodging your the vaccine for personal benefit, putting people at risk as well, and lying. It's a felony. So whoever she claims she knows, if I was the feds, and I'm not being dramatic, everybody knows I am a Nia Jax fan. Shit. Look, I still haven't taken it off the table. We were going to give away this Kiss card, this autographed Kiss card a while back. You know, I got Nia Jax memorabilia, not because I got it at a fire sale. I'm a fan of Nia Jax. I like her work. I like her. But you make a claim like that, I mean, you put some real big pressure because now you have fans that are looking at some WWE stars who were anti-vaxxers and they're saying, does that person have a fake card? Is that this? If I was the FBI, I would be getting in touch with her. Who do you know? And I'm sure she probably wouldn't out anybody. But, you know, and I'm sure a lot of you are saying, oh, yeah, we already know. People with money could buy anything. I get it. The fact that she made that public and she's talking about your favorites and feel the same way and this and that. You think someone, look, before when COVID first started and we talked in February of 2020, 2 years ago, and I said 1/3 of the United States of America does not believe in flu shots. 1/3 of our country is not going to get vaccinated. And you realize these mandates. And now you have million-dollar athletes that are paying off doctors. The doctors should go to jail. The athletes should go to jail. And that is serious, serious shit. It's a serious as a heart attack. That's an old phrase. We will see what happens. But if I was her, just for a ha-ha on a tweet, I was pretty stupid on her part. Very, very stupid on her part. And listen, remember this. I'm a Nia Jax fan. Think of everybody out there who are not a fan of Nia Jax, that have hated Nia Jax. You see news websites. I saw one today that was recapping the interview, and she said to, I think, Renee that she'll never return to wrestling, and the author had to add a little dig. Oh, wrestling, lots of wrestling fans are very happy with that statement by Nia Jax. You know, like, giving her a fuck you in the middle of a recap. Scott Woodward. Mandates will be over by the summer? Sure, of course, Scott. Here in New York, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Here in New York, COVID is down 90%. 90%. My father's birthday, January 6th, there was 90,000 plus cases. Now it's down to about 6,000 on average. So we're in the right direction. Shit, I wanted to be out of here because I'm getting married in September. But I wanted to get out of here, you know, and stay out of here. You know, but the stuff with Nia Jax, man, very, very serious shit, because there are boatloads of people out there that will use this. I guarantee there's some Nia Jax haters that are probably, you know, that anonymous site. Remember the FBI? Remember that guy that was getting bullied on social media and I filed an FBI complaint to help him? It was the AEW Botches account. Was that the account? Never got a thank you for that, by the way. But I did that and the person stopped harassment. They take this stuff very seriously. You could go there and put an anonymous. You don't think people are doing that just to fuck with Nia Jax? Shit, yeah. So, all right, let's move on. Let's move on. You all got to listen to me more often. How many times, that doesn't look good, that looks good. How many times did I say for the last 6 weeks, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair? Now, all we need is Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens and the long shot, which I don't think is going to happen, but Big E versus Bobby Lashley. If those two matches get announced for WrestleMania, all six matches that I predicted and called 6 weeks ago ended up to be right. I never thought there was any doubt. Ronda Rousey returning, people want to see her beat the living shit out of Charlotte Flair. For everybody out there that kept saying to me, DT, you're nuts, it's going to be Becky, it's going to be Becky. And I've said since day one, Becky Lynch has to face Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair has to beat Becky Lynch. And she will beat Becky Lynch for the simple reason that it makes up for SummerSlam. And not only that, Becky Lynch has been planting seeds for Bianca Belair for months and months and months since SummerSlam. Becky has planted seeds. I'm undefeated in 3 years. I'm undefeated for 3 years. And all these accolades. And so the more she instills that in everybody's brain, the more you realize whoever beats Becky Lynch, it is going to be a gigantic, huge moment. Whoever beats Roman Reigns is going to be a huge, gigantic moment. But Becky Lynch especially, 3 years storyline, she has not lost the title. So whoever wins, it's going to mean so much more. And Ronda Rousey beating Becky Lynch, nothing against Ronda Rousey, but people are going to be like, oh, you know, she's back. She doesn't even really like wrestling. And she jumps over everybody because, you know, of her name and this and that. There would be a lot of people who would be resentful that Becky Lynch lost to Ronda Rousey. So when Bianca does it, and not only that, remember the Austin interview with Becky a couple of weeks ago when he did word association and when Steve Austin brought up Becky, brought up Bianca, Becky said future, future. It's almost like Becky Lynch will be passing the torch to Bianca Belair, even though JRG, welcome to the family. Welcome to La Nostra Familia. I see 3 stars. He is head of the table right now. JRG, much love. Welcome. Welcome. Bianca Belair is the only person that should be beating Becky Lynch. And that will happen. So Charlotte Flair taking on Ronda Rousey. Oh, my God. You all know. You see Charlotte, the squirmish with Becky Lynch and all the other thing. Oh, I laugh when people get so upset Charlotte Flair doesn't care about the women's division. What does that even mean? Why? Because she has her own locker room? Because she walks around like her shit don't stink? That she walks around that she is a prima donna and she is the greatest of the women's division? And what did you think Ric Flair did for decades and decades? What do you think Hogan and a bunch of others did for decades and decades? You think they turned around and they broke bread with Charlie Wilson, you know, scrubber? No. When you reach elite status, you know, you do have a little bit of a right to have that. Charlotte Flair, by being professional and cutting the best promos and doing moonsaults and doing everything that she does, even if it seems a little selfish, she's earned that position. You look at people on social media. You've seen this orgy of verified accounts for the last 6 months. How many people you know that as soon as they got verified and you try to communicate with them, hey, you might get a response once every month. It goes to people's heads. Power goes to people's heads. That's why, you know, even like Mike Johnson, that piece of shit, the night Jeff Hardy walked out of WWE, you know, people in power, words matter. And it's not just bullying where words matter. When he wrote, Jeff was in rough shape. Go back and watch it. You tell me where he was in rough shape. That was such a disrespectful, awful, clickbait attempt for attention. That guy should get punched in the mouth. So, you know, Charlotte has earned that. So you mean to tell me you wouldn't want Ronda Rousey to punch her right in the mouth? Ronda beating the crap out of Charlotte Flair is what everybody will want to see. Absolutely. Johnny Bravo, 718. He didn't think of it that way. Becky versus Bianca would be better than Becky versus Ronda. Absolutely. It writes itself. And thank you very much for that super chat. Very kind of you. Yeah, it's not, hey, I told you so. But you just look at the matches and you look at what means more. As much as Becky Lynch is technically a heel right now, you see her on the house show circuit. She's interacting with little girls at ringside. You distracted me. I lost because of you. And everybody loves Becky deep down inside. They want Becky to pass it to Bianca, not to Ronda. And honestly, does anybody think Charlotte's passing anything to anybody? That's why you need Ronda Rousey. And listen, WWE knows it. Charlotte knows it. And this is the right match for WrestleMania. So good for WWE to get it right. Bad for WWE to get it wrong. Oh, my God, I swear, I made the thumbnail. I should have put it, I don't want to get any YouTube heat. Tribal queef. Does anybody know what queef means? Just picture you having intercourse with somebody of the opposite sex. Or no, it could be someone in the same sex, a female. And you hear a little noise. Some people think that's sexy, actually. Scott Woodford, my friend. Thank you very much. Becky versus Ronda will be next year's WrestleMania. That's not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea at all. I like that idea. Look, Ronda Rousey, people didn't pay attention of the news from a week and a half ago that Ronda Rousey is going to be working house shows for WWE as well. This is her getting back not only in wrestling form, but also ring presence, storytelling, reversals, you know, there's a lot of aspects in the ring. And she, I think, is teaming up with Naomi. I think she teamed up with Naomi today or yesterday, whatever. I think it was today. So, you know, Ronda Rousey's going to be doing a little bit of house shows as well. I hope Ronda is around a year from now, still on WWE. You know, we don't know how long the deal is. Could it be 1 year? Could it be 6 months? Could it be more than 1 year? But, you know, I never said that Charlotte was going to lose to Ronda. I'm not sure about that yet. But one thing's for sure, Ronda Rousey's going to beat the crap out of Charlotte Flair. So we will see. All right, let's talk about my tribal grief. SmackDown yesterday. Roman Reigns opens up the show. We'll do the recap. We'll overview in a few minutes. But to open the show, reunited with Paul Heyman, massive heel heat. Now, by last night, a lot of people heard the reports, the rumors that Goldberg was going to return. And it's Saudi Arabia. It's Elimination Chamber. I've always brought up the $50 million aspect of it and the Crown Prince, his input. And the most important factor that nobody thinks about really at all, the future between WWE and Saudi Arabia. Because as we talked about on Thursday for the Q&A, that WWE right now, you know, they can sweep crappy creative under the rug when they ink billion-dollar deals with Peacock, when they ink billion-dollar deals with Fox, when they ink hundreds of millions of dollars with Saudi Arabia. They could have nobody show up for a WWE house show and still make hundreds of millions. They had Thunderdome for 7 months. Thunderdome for 7 months or 8 months, whatever it was. And they still made the most money they ever did in their history. Think about that. How crazy is that when you think about it? So as long as Saudi Arabia, Fox, Peacock, other places keep inking these deals with WWE, they could say, yeah, we could keep giving them a lot of creative bullshit. Until that revenue gets dry, they could continue doing what they're doing. And they will overpay for Goldberg. They will overpay for some wrestlers. Remember the budget cut thing. People still haven't figured it out. Their budget cuts has nothing to do with money problems. They realize we don't need 110 wrestlers. We could go with 50. And, you know, everything is still fine. Or would you... See, it's almost like you, if you're used to collect baseball cards or basketball cards. And, basketball cards, all right? You have 10 basketball cards. And the players are okay. You know, no megastars. But then someone says, I'll give you a LeBron James card for your 10 lower-end cards. Some people would say, no, I'll keep the 10. Well, some people say, yeah, take them. In fact, here's 10 more. Give me LeBron. That's what WWE did with their roster. They're trying to have as many LeBrons and LeBronas on their roster. And the middle card, that's why even with creative, how could you screw up Keith Lee? How could you screw up Karrion Kross? How could you screw up this? Because WWE don't want to spend the time right now to build up those stars. You bring them to the main roster, it comes off like a wet fart. Even if it's their mistake, they're not going to say, we did a boo-boo. Okay, let's fix it. No, they're like, you know what? All right, we fucked up. You know, it's almost like playing a video game. And you accidentally do something wrong in the game, and you don't own up to it. Yeah, you know, and then you just try to battle out of it. No, you just reset it. You just play again. So, Saudi Arabia, Goldberg, nostalgia, larger-than-life heroes, that's what Saudi Arabia wants. Spectacle. AEW is more about substance and in-ring and five-star matches and match quality and a lot of that. WWE is more about pomp and circumstance, the presentation, the everything. You even look, even when they show the advertisers, everything is crazy colors, craziness. It's all about the perception. If it looks huge, then it is huge. So Saudi Arabia loves the nostalgia. They want the DX. They wanted Shawn Michaels so bad. They paid so much money, and Shawn Michaels agreed to it. He regrets getting back in the ring. I don't blame him. But Saudi wants, Saudi gets a lot of the time. Goldberg, one match left in his contract. Saudi Arabia, the Saudi fans open up. Saudi fans love Goldberg. So WWE says, okay, Saudi Arabia wants Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. We give them Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. I have always been a Goldberg fan. Always was, always will be. And take it from somebody who is a huge Goldberg fan, I do not want to see this match. I don't mind predictability if the storytelling leading up to something is awesome. I don't mind You look at Roman Reigns' entire title reign, from Jey Uso to Kevin Owens to Daniel Bryan to others. It never really felt ever that Roman Reigns' title was in any jeopardy. And a lot of storylines, we knew what the outcome was, but we enjoyed the storylines so much. We enjoyed the effort by his opponents so much that even though you knew what the outcome was, you still enjoyed the shit out of it. That's why Roman Reigns is the head of the table. If his title reign had been looked at as being absolutely awful and his opponents were not that great as well, it would not build to the aura of Roman Reigns. But this with Goldberg, just showing up, you're next to win. Goldberg's not winning this. What? Maybe a DQ. I talked about this on Thursday, that Roman Reigns getting disqualified against Seth Rollins, this may be part of a storyline that Roman Reigns might get himself disqualified against Bill Goldberg. He keeps the title. Bill Goldberg gets a win. And then it leads to Adam Pearce making an announcement that Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns will not be, it will be a no DQ. So the storyline is Roman Reigns is getting himself disqualified so to keep his title. So this might be more of that storyline. Either way, Roman Reigns comes out of Elimination Chamber with the championship. So this, I don't care it's spear versus spear. You know what I mean? It's just, if there's any consolation with this, is that this is Goldberg's last match under his contract. This match has to be good. It has to be good. If it's good, would not surprise me if WWE signs Goldberg to another year, three more matches, and all three may end up in Saudi Arabia. He already got through Drew McIntyre. He's going through Roman Reigns. He went through The Fiend. So at this point, it seems like anybody he faces after this is downward. And I do not think they're going to revisit Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. We remember that disaster. So this has happened in Elimination Chamber. I am not happy about it, but if there's any consolation, Roman Reigns will keep the title. This is the bump in the road on the way, the road to WrestleMania. All right. So, before we talk about, let me say one last thing, and we'll segue into Shane McMahon. Let me segue one more thing, too. I wouldn't be surprised if Goldberg's return into the Elimination Chamber had some effect on WWE changing their mind with Shane McMahon. Seriously. Because I don't think they wanted to have two part-timers, and they're even less than part-timers, filling up spots in Elimination Chamber. Now, I will say this about Shane McMahon. I mentioned these two words on Wednesday night. We got into it a little bit more on Thursday. And I think now after 4 days, you're realizing what we said on Wednesday was right. Highly exaggerated. Even though I don't like this website, I want you to go check it out later. ringsidenews.com. After them and a whole bunch of other sites and podcasts clickbaiting you for 5 days that Shane McMahon was fired, Vince fired his own son, Shane was let go, Shane was this. Do you know that website today had the balls to write, Shane McMahon was never an employee, so he wasn't fired. They used you, they jerked you off for 5 days, and now because they blew their load, and what happens after you blow your load? Oh, I want to eat, I want to smoke a cigarette, don't touch me, you know, the mood is gone, you know? That's what they did for 5 days. James Campbell, I'll answer your NWO question in a second. I love that question, by the way. But for 5 days, they tried to make this the biggest story on the net, that Shane McMahon is going to create his own wrestling company. He's going to show up in AEW. There are people that think that he's going to show up in AEW Wednesday. People think that Stephanie don't give the vag to Triple H anymore, that Triple H doesn't spend holidays with Vince anymore, that Triple H is being written off his legacy, even though at the beginning of WWE's intro on Raw and SmackDown, you see Triple H is right at the beginning. It's awful. It's ridiculous. This week was another conference call, and it was another conference call where not one investor has asked Nick Khan, Vince, or anyone else, what's going on with Paul Levesque and WWE? Not one investor. This conference call, the last one, the one before that, no financial websites, nobody. Nobody is questioning Hunter's role, except for clickbaitwrestling.com. So Shane McMahon, while everybody was telling you for 5-6 days, and what did I say on Thursday? I said, did you notice how suddenly there's no follow-up? Do you remember on Tuesday, Shane McMahon, more to come, big news to come, breaking story coming, and what did you get? That Shane was supposed to come out after Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble, and they played Shane's music by mistake, and Randy Orton told Shane, you better go out there because I'm not going to come out to your music. That's a controversy, and it's Captain Obvious. If I'm in the Royal Rumble, and I think I'm coming out at number 26, and number 25 is announced, and they're playing my music, oh, fuck, and I go out there. That's what they came up with in 6 days. The story is this. And it's all creative. WWE was going to have Shane McMahon at Elimination Chamber and at WrestleMania. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. It's still in the title of one of the shows we did. WWE changed their mind and said, you know what? We're going to go a different direction. And it may be Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens instead of Seth Rollins versus Shane McMahon. It's a creative decision. It wasn't, you know, oh, the Royal Rumble match sucked. Get the fuck out. They're making 45,000 people showed up. You heard the finance call. Did anybody seem concerned about the Royal Rumble match? Creative is one of the last worries for WWE. They could keep sweeping this creative garbage under the rug because they keep inking these crazy deals. Us as wrestling fans, it's our biggest concern because we want to be entertained. They're entertained by seeing 45,000 people showing up. They are entertained when WrestleMania tickets sell out in an hour. They are entertained when Saudi Arabia inks another deal. So Shane McMahon, there was no, oh, you're a bastard child. Get the F out of our offices and that. It was just simply creative. They changed their mind. Shane is a McMahon. Shane has been around wrestling for decades and decades and decades. He knows how the sausage is made. Is his feelings hurt? I'm sure his feelings are hurt. The guy likes to perform. He likes to perform. You think anybody, you, me, anyone else, our feelings would be hurt if we worked for an entertainment company, even if it was family-owned. Son, you know, we're going to change direction. That's it. Period. It's still a story because, wow, you know, but shouldn't you be happy with this decision? You know, I don't understand, and I brought this up on Thursday. I don't understand. Shane McMahon, it's almost the 6-year anniversary of Shane McMahon returning. And we got a This Is Awesome chant before he even opened his mouth. I mean, people absolutely loved it. He had a crazy match with Undertaker. He had a match with Kevin Owens. You know, I think out of his return for 6 years, probably The only part of it that we didn't like was the whole best in the world thing. And then the Saudi Arabia stuff. Okay, I'm with you with that. But why this absolute bitterness, hatred for Shane McMahon just confuses me. This is a guy who shows up less than Goldberg. So I was just confused at the amount of hate. And then these same people are throwing all this hate to Shane, are saying, oh, he should go to AEW. So it's just a creative decision, everyone. And even though I'm a Shane McMahon fan, if it ends up that they go with Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, which we talked about on Monday, good. I'm glad they went that direction. We should be glad that WWE changed their mind and not waste Seth Rollins against Shane. It's a good thing. All right. I might as well show you a picture of her right now. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Santino Marella. I'll never forget that moment, man. I hated it. I'm Italian, and I remember when WWE was overseas and Santino Marella made his debut. What's your name? Santino Marella. I'm like, fuck you. Now, Santino has, I have warmed on Santino over the years. My favorite moment will always be Elimination Chamber, because even on my hotline or my podcast that night, for a few moments, I thought this son of a bitch might win Elimination Chamber. And I was fine with it. It didn't happen. But it was great. His daughter, Bianca, she had a WWE tryout, I think 2019. WWE went to Canada. They had some tryouts. She was part of the tryouts. WWE did not pick her up at that time. But I believe last week, WWE has signed the daughter of Santino Marella. So, warning, hottie alert. So, for all of you out there, if you've never seen pictures of her before, let me first show you the wrestling part. If you want to actually see her in action, this is a match that I would recommend. You could go on YouTube. It is on there. Just look up Bianca Carelli versus Christy James. Now, if I remember correctly, she was on Empower also. So she has made some appearances, but that match is actually a decent one if you want to check it out. But if you'd like to see a couple of pictures of Santino's daughter, there is a couple of pictures. Obviously, she will not go by the name of Bianca in WWE. But, yeah, that is Santino's daughter, Bianca Carelli. Yep, so that is her. So I think we could run through the pictures one more time. Not being a chauvinistic male, just showing the pictures. I know some of you out there, you know, you want to just see the beauty, and you're probably saying, Santino developed that? Santino was half responsible for the creation of Bianca. Yeah, she's talented. She's talented. She's not bad in the ring. If you go and check out that match, I think there's like, it's in like an hour long, not the match, but the episode CCW on YouTube. Their match is like around the 3 minute mark. It's right at the beginning of the video. So in fact, you know what? When I go like this, you will get a link. After, I can't do it now. You know, once the show is over, I'll put up a link. So if you want to watch it. So good for her. Congrats. Congrats. Hey, we'll see what happens with her. Like I said, you know, we got to get used to it that, you know, wrestlers will continue to try to get a job with WWE. You know, we saw Roxy, you know, doing a tryout not too long ago. And, you know, even with all these releases, you will still get tons of wrestlers that will try to sign with WWE because they feel they're the exception to the rule. They feel that they have what WWE wants and they won't be like the others. But anybody that signs with WWE, even the daughter of Santino Marella, You know, they know in the back of their mind that they could change their mind like this. If you are concerned, you don't sign with them, or you get a little bit different of a contract. But as long as these wrestlers continue to sign these deals, WWE is going to continue doing what they're doing. You know, I know it sucks, but that's why you got to understand the business side of WWE. We don't have to agree with it, but once you understand it, you know, you realize that this is going to happen again. There are going to be more releases. I think there's going to be more releases within the next month. And we've talked about a few names already. Got an itch for some reason, picking his nose. Oh, look, I don't want to see anybody out of a job. But you could see the writing on the wall, like, you know, unless some people want to be coaches. But, all right. So what do we have still to get into? Okay. We'll briefly run through SmackDown and Rampage. And also, I want to bring this up again. We talked about it on Thursday. Actually, you know what? Before I even do that, I want to answer a question that came in a little while ago because it is a good one. James Campbell is asking, do I think Saudi Arabia asks for the NWO soon? Yeah, I definitely see that. Look, too bad with Christian, you know, not staying with WWE. Look, it's WWE's fault. WWE did not want to use him the way that they could have. But I think by now we would have had Edge and Christian in Saudi Arabia. If Matt Hardy would have never left, I could have seen possibly the Hardys versus Edge and Christian rematch in Saudi Arabia. You know, maybe we wouldn't want that because we're concerned that if it's not as good as in the past, and they may force themselves to go over and above. But, I mean, Edge, the way he's returned, my God. I mean, he's put on phenomenal performances. But Saudi Arabia, one thing everybody needs to understand, and this is a cultural thing. You know, here in the United States, all right, you go back to the 80s, 70s, 80s, for the most part, even parts of 90s. You know, pro wrestling for the United States, England, other areas, it was larger than life stars, especially with the rampant use of steroids. Everybody was a freak of nature. You had some wrestlers that weren't. Not everybody believed in, you know, going that route. But for the most part, you want to see larger than life characters, superheroes. As the 90s went along, you started to accept smaller guys. Eddie Guerrero became champion. Rey Mysterio became world champion. Benoit, others. And you look at Japan. You look at Japan in the 70s and the 80s, just like we said, in Japanese wrestling, it was more about the in-ring ability. That's why when Hogan would go to Japan, Hogan would look like a totally different wrestler. Not dressing different, but he would pull moves that we have no interest in seeing him doing in the United States. So the smaller wrestler was always accepted in Japan. But with Saudi Arabia, when you look at movies, when you look at, you know, comics, Saudi Arabia is heavy on the larger than life superheroes. I don't want to use monsters because it's not a negative thing, but they're more of the larger-than-life, massive, big-time stars. And nostalgia. That is what is more acceptable. And NWO, in some capacity, why do you think they had Flair and Hogan show up? Oh, each one is representing a team because they love that nostalgia. Now, like I said before, Saudi Arabia, they don't live under a rock. The claim that the prince wanted Yokozuna or Andre the Giant, that's just somebody being a wise ass online, and people actually bought it and believed it. They know who's alive and who's deceased. But yeah, NWO, I could see that. By the way, big shout out to everybody who is live right now. Much love. I hope you're having a great weekend, great Saturday. I got to show you one thing before we briefly talk about SmackDown and Rampage. And I'll give you my thoughts about Adam Cole versus Hangman Page as well. I got to show you another example on how the sausage is made. You're going to get a kick out of this one. It has to do with Mickie James, and I teased it at the beginning of the show. When I say Captain Obvious on these shows, we talk about news reports that are not really news. It's just common sense shit. And when I talk about how the sausage is made, it's, you know, when you go to a store and you buy sausage, you know, a lot of people don't know how sausage is prepared. So there's a machine and casing and this and that. So when I say how the sausage is made, it's how people come up with these news articles that are not really news. You're going to like this one. This is a treat. This is from the Royal Rumble. Mickie James, I'm sorry the video quality if it's a little bad, but Mickie James came out for her spot in the Royal Rumble. Now, you look at the banner, Impact Women's Champion Mickie James. Okay? Just like in WWE, they have Women's Champion. So they put Impact Women's Champion Mickie James. Some genius today put out an article saying that Mickie James' Royal Rumble appearance came with some caveats. Caveats. Now, funny how it wasn't reported before this banner was shown. But when I read you this news article, you realize that you, me, any goof could have just simply looked at that banner and came up with this news report. You tell me if this is actual news. The words Impact Wrestling was not allowed, but only Impact. Wrestling was not allowed by WWE. The words World or Knockouts was also not allowed. Also, they were not tagging Impact on social media. First off, WWE never tags anything other. But you look at that banner. Some genius looked at that banner and said, oh, they didn't write the word wrestling. So let's report that WWE refused to put the word wrestling. It doesn't say knockouts. Oh, let's report that WWE refused to put knockouts. If they were to put all the words that this genius said, the banner would have been the entire length of the screen. These people are, this is how the sausage is made, everyone. This is how the sausage is made. There's no scoop behind the scenes. The next time you see a banner for anything that outside of WWE could be somebody promoting a movie, and we could write the same thing. WWE refused to put this or put that or put that. Ridiculous. I mean, that is like bottom of the barrel, Captain Obvious, how the sausage is made, garbage. Oh, man. I miss doing news reporting from 15 years ago. I stopped in like 2006 because I was doing the indie managing stuff and it just was too much. But, man, if I went back to writing news stories, I would come up with bullshit like that every single day. Every single day. So, yeah, Vulture, thank you. I bet you this genius puts a follow-up story that they refused to put the exclamation point after the word impact. They felt it was poor grammar. Al Bukalak, Bulaklak, and John Vickers, welcome both of you to the family. Back to back. Welcome. All right. Very quickly, talk a little bit about SmackDown. Let's talk a little bit about Rampage. Let's get Rampage out of the way first. Adam Cole beating Evil Uno with the boom, getting the pinfall victory. interesting. After the match is done, Adam Cole gets on the mic, talks about, even though he lost the week before, doesn't count, it was unsanctioned, so he's undefeated in AEW. I have no problem with that. I never did. And he wants to be AEW world champion. Let's be honest, everyone. You know, look, I showed everybody this. You know, it's amazing that this is only 6-7 months ago. How many people that are no longer in WWE in such a short amount of time? By the way, how's that Kyle O'Reilly push going since he signed in AEW? But it's amazing how many people are actually gone in this poster. But I've said this 1,000 times before. If Adam Cole is happy, and if AEW fans are happy with the way he's being used, that's all that matters. But let's also be honest. You know, you see a match like this, okay, you got Killer Cross, Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano, and those are his opponents. When Adam Cole cuts a promo on Dynamite, I don't get the respect I deserve. And after I beat Evil Uno, I'm going to demand the respect I deserve. You know, beating Evil Uno, like I said Wednesday, it's like me saying, you know what, I'm going to go on a diet, and from now on, instead of Coke, I'm going to have Diet Coke with my 5 slices of pizza. He beats Evil Uno. He issues the challenge to Hangman Page. And I know that match is going to be phenomenal. You think Ring of Honor, you know it's going to be awesome. But does anybody think for 1 minute that Adam Cole is going to become AEW heavyweight champion anytime soon? I mean, I know we don't have Kenny Omega back yet, but obviously that storyline has to happen. The Young Bucks part of it has been put on hold because of the status of Kenny Omega. If people haven't realized it, I'm sure somebody will write as a news report now, exclusive. But you see all this other stuff going on, and you think Adam Cole's going to be heavyweight champion? So this is out of nowhere. It's going to be a great match at Revolution, but you know, it's a nice challenger, but, you know, it is what it is. I think we know what the outcome is going to be with that. So, Mike is asking, what are my honest thoughts of Adam Cole so far, putting the happiness factor aside? You know, I kind of wish that he would have been utilized with less comedy. I mean, the kissing on the cheek stuff is, you know, funny and everything, but Cutler always coming out with the spray like he does with the Young Bucks and having interference every single match. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's working with Best Friends. He's working with the Dark Order, giving back a little bit. You know, I don't have a problem with that, but maybe they shouldn't have teased the storyline with Kenny Omega in the process, or the Young Bucks. You know, maybe you go a different route, and then down the line, you form, you know, another version of the Undisputed Era. But you formed it because you didn't want to wait. You wanted to make that huge announcement surprise. And then since it's like, okay, they really haven't used Kyle O'Reilly much at all. He's being used 10 times less than he was in NXT. Bobby Fish, I mean, does it feel like there's anything really going on? It feels messy. You know, it's not tight, organized. And look, I even said that Adam Cole leaving NXT was probably the best thing because he had fought with so many people there. Not many people left. All right, you had a few with Bron Breakker, and then what? You know what I mean? So I'm fine with Adam Cole. I just wish that maybe they didn't reform with O'Reilly and Fish as of yet. And yeah, maybe they had no choice. But look, going into AEW, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole were at opposite ends. They feuded in NXT. So he could have been brought in, and they didn't cross paths. Or maybe they did cross paths. There's no reason why they had to make bygones be bygones immediately. They could have formed later on, and it would have been a huge swerve. So Adam Cole issues pretty much a challenge for Hangman Page, and that match appears it will go down at Revolution. Jade Cargill, the TBS Women's Champion, on TNT. She wants to know who her next opponent is going to be. You could pretty much look at the entire tournament, the TBS tournament, and it'll probably not be anybody on that list. So she's going to apparently defend the title next week against who? We have no idea. Sammy Guevara versus Isaiah Cassidy. They're trying to segue into Andrade doing something with Darby Allin and possibly Andrade with Sammy Guevara as well. Sammy Guevara and Isaiah Cassidy having a decent match. Towards the end of the match, Andrade comes out for a distraction. He gets into a little bit of an argument with Matt Hardy. Guevara ends up hitting the GTH, gets the win. After the match is over, you get Andrade that tries to tease a beat down to Sammy Guevara after the match is over. Darby Allin's music hits. He runs in the ring, and they back off. So it seems like Darby Allin and Sammy have a little bit of an alliance, and we'll see where this leads. But this is a segue. I just wish they were doing more with Andrade. I mean, he's the smartest man on their roster. The amount of money that that man has made in AEW, and you realize how little he's had to do in the ring. I mean, he's had some banger matches, but very few. What did he have, 2 wins on Dynamite in 2021? It wasn't like he was only there for 1 month. I think he had 2 wins total. QT Marshall challenged the Hook next week. You know, I mean, until they have Hook facing people that we actually give a shit about, this is, you know, just giving the fans what they want. I have no problem with it. You know, Hook is doing well. He's only had, what, 3-4 matches? You know what I mean? So, you know, we don't jump too far ahead. But Hook, you know, obviously he's going to beat QT Marshall. QT Marshall will sell like $1 million for the guy, so you already know what to expect there. I mean, if you really look at Rampage, it is a slightly a step below the padding the numbers that they do in Dark and Elevation. You see more episodes of Rampage in almost every match, you could pretty much predict the winner. The main event, I didn't expect the outcome that we got, and I'll tell you that in a minute. They had Layla Hirsch attack Chris Statlander backstage. Again, this is a feud. I think it's like 2-3 weeks ago that we brought it up. This is a feud that took 3 months to develop that should have been done in 3 weeks. I mean, it's just dragging and dragging, and fans still don't give a shit about it, with all due respect. But we get Mercedes Martinez versus Thunder Rosa, semi-main event, and Thunder Rosa wins on a disqualification because Mercedes Martinez takes out a metal pipe. I think it was PVC, painted silver to look like a lead pipe, but it looked awesome on TV. She cracked that pipe over Thunder Rosa's side of her head. Thunder Rosa gets knocked out. Mercedes Martinez gets disqualified. After the match is over, she gets interviewed in the back. Shivani, explain your actions. And then Britt Baker comes out. And this was kind of stupid. Britt Baker is like, the DQ is not part of the deal. What? I mean, what do you mean? She hit Thunder Rosa over the head with a pipe. The DQ is not part of the deal. It's usually the opposite. Usually, if a heel beats a babyface and was hired, sometimes, most of the time, and I'm sure Jim Cornette might even say this too. I've been really enjoying his analysis lately. You know, Britt Baker would have said, pinfall's not enough. You should have made her go to the hospital. So this was kind of ass backwards, in my honest opinion. Oh, Rojo Bear says he's wrestling one of his students. No, no, no. QT will end up taking on Hook. All right, maybe he beats the student next week, but He's going to suplex QT. If they look, he's facing QT. All right. It's whatever. If they think this is going to drag out like Layla Hirsch and Statlander, nobody's going to give a shit. It's no disrespect to QT Marshall, but fans do not give a shit. They want to see Hook. They don't want to see him. So, main event, Ricky Starks retains the FTW title, beating Jay Lethal. Excellent match, fun match. Nice to see Jay Lethal getting a little bit more on television. I don't think anybody, for the most part, doubted that Ricky Starks was going to keep this FTW title, because even if Jay Lethal would have won, why would he want the FTW title? Yeah, you take it away from Ricky Starks, you take it away from Team Taz, but then what? This is not a recognized title in AEW. But they had a great match. The finish was outstanding. I'd like to see a rematch. I know AEW does not do that many rematches unless it's really high profile, most recently with Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson. But this match was a banger. When Jay Lethal went for the lethal injection, Ricky Starks countered, and the visual, and look, they obviously were planning on that finish because they had the overhead camera, the side cameras. I mean, those two guys really, really work well. And if I was AEW, because Rampage doesn't even get half the viewers that Dynamite gets. And yes, people do watch on YouTube, but I would love to see that rematch happen on Dynamite. Maybe they do it, maybe they don't. Ricky Starks is excellent. Look, Ricky Starks came back from injury and they are taking it slow, but Jay Lethal could still go, man. And, you know, it's funny because 6 months from now, we're going to look at Jay Lethal's record and it's probably going to be like 17-2 or 17-3. And people are going to be like, where'd he get the 17 wins from? And then you do a little research and you see his match results on Dark and Elevation. Like, this is how they're using him? So, all right. SmackDown, we could run through this fairly quickly because, you know, setting up Elimination Chamber, you know, I know a lot of people are not happy with Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. I'd rather them do it at Elimination Chamber than do it at WrestleMania. I hope they're not trying to go for Corbin versus Drew at WrestleMania. I don't think anybody wants to see that. Personally, I think they will move on way before that. But as we said before, Roman Reigns comes out with the Usos, Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns getting a majority of boos, Paul Heyman getting on the mic. And, you know, he talks about, you know, there was an opportunity there. You know, Roman Reigns could not compete at day one. So you had a happy Saskatchewan, you know, who wanted to suplex everyone. So Paul Heyman took the opportunity. And then he smashed Lesnar in the face, broke his heart, gave the title to Roman Reigns. Roman smashed it in his face. Bobby Lashley pinned him, became heavyweight champion. And Paul Heyman says, now everyone has to acknowledge that there will not be a title versus title at WrestleMania. Now, if you remember, when we talked about it the night of day one, we talked about scenarios, and if you remember my recap on day one that night, I said Brock Lesnar could win Elimination Chamber. It would be really interesting if Brock Lesnar were to win Elimination Chamber, win the WWE Championship, and then Brock versus Roman at Mania is title versus title. It would be really interesting. I still do not think that'll happen because WrestleMania is two nights, and I've said this before. You're going to have a women's championship match and a men's championship match on night one, and you're going to have it on night two. And I think night one is going to be Bobby Lashley against somebody. You know, Here's the thing about this. We have to think one step ahead with this. If Bobby Lashley retains at Elimination Chamber, we still have no opponent for him for WrestleMania. And the problem is, he would have to face a Raw wrestler because there is no other pay-per-view where you could have Raw and SmackDown wrestlers in the ring together unless they did some invitational shit for one night. And I don't think WWE is going to get that complex with their storyline. I know a lot of people, and we talked about it on Thursday, a lot of people are claiming rumors of Riddle versus Orton for the WWE Championship at Mania. That is, to me, an insane stretch because I don't think anybody wants to see Riddle win the championship prior to Mania, and they haven't had the split yet. You know, Riddle and Orton are going to get a rematch against Alpha Academy. That's why they're doing these challenges the last 2 weeks. So if Lashley retains at the Chamber, who's his opponent? And I think night one should be Lashley against an opponent and Becky versus Bianca to close out night one. Or you could have Ronda versus Charlotte close out night one. Night two would be maybe Becky versus Bianca and Roman versus Brock to close out night two. If you don't have a men's heavyweight championship match on one of the two nights, I don't know what you put in its place. So right now it's really interesting. For me, I think it comes down to either Bobby Lashley retaining or Brock Lesnar winning. And if Brock Lesnar wins, you know, it's going to be title versus title. And the question is, does anybody in their right mind think Brock Lesnar is going to defend titles on both brands? I mean, he seems like he's having the time of his life right now, but is he going to do double duty? I don't know about that. I don't think Roman Reigns is going to do double duty. I think Roman Reigns may be taking some time off after Mania. So there's a lot of unknown right now. There's a lot of unknown. So as Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, the Usos are in the ring, Goldberg's music hits. Goldberg comes out. Some piped in chants, and Goldberg challenges Roman Reigns for Elimination Chamber. You're next. And you know, the crowd seemed to pop for it. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not happy about it. For a casual fan, you know, there is Goldberg's name still has some weight. I mean, let's not deny it, but this is not a match I was looking forward to see. I really wanted to see Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns have a rematch. I honestly thought that was coming. So, Matthew P is saying, how come when he subscribed, it didn't do the alert and get the classic welcome to the family, my friend? When did you subscribe? I don't know. I mean, maybe the alerts were off that night, but I could say it indirectly. Welcome to the family, Matthew. Matthew P., welcome to the family. Ridge Holland versus Ricochet. Cesaro is out there. Sheamus is out there. Referee is getting distracted. Sheamus is trying to get involved. Cesaro comes over to Sheamus. They have some words. And Ricochet takes advantage of the distraction and beats Ridge Holland. After the match, Sheamus and Ridge Holland, they go at it with Cesaro, Ricochet. We come back, we get a tag match. Ridge Holland and Sheamus, they get the win over Cesaro and Ricochet. You know, you winneth, I taketh away. They split wins. 50-50 booking, as we always talk about. Jimmy Uso over Eric of the Viking Raiders, the Usos versus the Viking Raiders at Elimination Chamber. You know, it is what it is. Jimmy Uso getting the splash yesterday to pick up the win. I have nothing against the Viking Raiders, but to me, it almost feels like they're dead in the water. I don't know where they go from here. Maybe if they turn heel and attack somebody that we don't expect. I just don't know what you do with the Viking Raiders at this point. They are so damaged, in my opinion, by WWE. I don't know how you repair it. You know, I know for some casual fans, they're still into them, and maybe WWE, they're content with that, you know, some casual fans, but for me, they give no value right now in the tag team division. Natty takes on Aaliyah. Pretty quick match. They battle outside the ring. Aaliyah gets back in the ring right before the 10 count, so Aaliyah beats Natty by count out. Natty is not happy. Later on, she requested and is granted. Next week, we get a dungeon match between Natty and Aaliyah. Okay. Drew McIntyre comes out with his sword, Angela, and he's talking about what went down at the Rumble. He's Madcap Moss, little confrontation with him, Baron Corbin. Drew McIntyre just beats up Moss a little bit. Baron Corbin looks a little concerned. We got Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss at Elimination Chamber. Again, another filler match. I don't mind some of these filler matches as long as they don't take place at WrestleMania. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Sami Zayn taking on Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship. If I recall, Shinsuke has not defended that title since September. He did have a hand injury for a little while. But, man, we thought Isaiah Swerve Scott's North American run was awful. I think he defended it once. Or he might have had one match after he was champion and he lost. But Nakamura, and it's not his fault, but Nakamura's run is easily the worst Intercontinental Championship run in the history of that belt. When we look back on it, people will only look at the statistic, the number of days he held the championship. But when you realize he has not defended that championship since September, we're in February. It is awful. Freaking awful. Ambrose doesn't come close. This is awful. If he had a hand injury, they could have done so many different things with this championship. It's ridiculous how they have handled that title. I mean, I know Pat McAfee gets on the table and everybody's dancing and Rick Boogs doing his guitar, but doesn't take away the fact that that title has been the absolute treated like shit. It's been the absolute shits since September. So we get that in 2 weeks. But for this week, Shinsuke Nakamura over Jinder Mahal. I know you all expected me to say something else. Sonya Deville in the back. Naomi wants to see her in the ring. Deville makes some excuses for it. We find out the storyline that refuses to die. Next week, Naomi is going to take on Charlotte Flair for the title. Now, again, we know what the outcome is going to be. Sonya Deville is going to be bullshit. It's like the never-ending feud. And I know some of you think it's going to lead into WrestleMania. That's 2 months away. How do you milk this for 2 more months? You suspend Naomi for something? I don't know how you milk that for 2 more months. It can't. There's no way that feud's going to keep going for 2 months. Be shocked if it does. The New Day over Los Lotharios. Then we get the very end. Sonya Deville is out there with Charlotte Flair. Sonya Deville originally teases, does a little bit of a Steve Harvey. You know, when Steve Harvey announced the wrong person. Sonya Deville, she says that Ronda Rousey has chosen Becky Lynch. Charlotte with a little bit of trash talking. And she compares what she's been doing while Ronda Rousey's been out having a baby, doing other things. Throwing a lot of trash talk to Ronda Rousey. Ronda comes out, and she basically gets on the mic, and she chooses Charlotte Flair as her opponent for WrestleMania. And she can't wait to beat the shit out of Charlotte Flair. Didn't use those words, but pretty much she's going to destroy Charlotte Flair. And Sonya Deville gets a little physical. Sonya running down Ronda Rousey. She's got a terrible temper. So Ronda takes her down, and Ronda applies her armbar. Sonya Deville screaming, and Charlotte Flair looks extremely concerned. And that pretty much was your episode of SmackDown. Next week, we still have two SmackDowns leading into Elimination Chamber. Because the Chamber is, what, the 19th? Yeah, the 19th, 2 weeks from today. Remember, the Elimination Chamber starts Saturday, the 19th, at 12 noon Eastern, I believe. So make sure you're up early because the pre-show probably started at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. if you live in California. I don't even know what time it starts if you live overseas. But, yeah, I will be doing a recap that day. Some people ask if I'm going to do the Don Tony show that night as well. I don't know. We'll see what the news is like for that week, and we'll see if there's, you know, enough topics to get into. You know, anything's possible. But I tell you, leading into Elimination Chamber, other than the Chamber match, this card sucks. Seriously. I mean, the last time they were in Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel was my favorite WWE event of 2021. Notice I said WWE. I'm not comparing AEW with it. I liked Crown Jewel more than I liked WrestleMania. This event, other than the Chamber match, so far looks pretty awful. Remember, I thought of some creative ideas for matches. It doesn't look like any of them are going to happen. We still don't know what's going to happen with the women. I mean, there's no Chamber match announced for the women. Remember, we talked about it a month ago. I don't know why nobody reported a news story about it, but I talked to someone directly that Saudi Arabia was not thrilled about having the women inside an Elimination Chamber, and that if a Chamber match happens with the women, it is going to be extremely watered down. Could still happen, but we're only 2 weeks away. So I don't know what's going to happen on the women's side. If it's not a Chamber match, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a four-way or a five-way, and to determine who's going to be Becky Lynch's. Look, let's be fair. They had Ronda Rousey choose her opponent first. So now in storyline, since Ronda chose Charlotte, now they could focus on an opponent for Becky, period. Now, the only problem with that is, where does this leave Sasha? Remember the night of the Royal Rumble? A lot of people didn't realize Sasha is still not 100%. So where does this leave Sasha at WrestleMania? Could we possibly get Sasha and Bayley versus Trish and Lita? Now, I am looking forward to Lita versus Becky in Elimination Chamber. But I don't know what kind of match we're actually going to get. I think there's going to be a lot of Gaga involved, and I don't know if Lita continues doing anything in the ring past Elimination Chamber. Is this just an Elimination Chamber payday for Lita, which she has earned and deserves? But where does this leave going to Mania? Now, would you be fine with Sasha and Bayley versus Lita and Trish? You know, I know a lot of people still would love to see Sasha versus Melina, a match that, you know, some people now realize it's a match they never asked for, but now want because of the little tease from the Royal Rumble. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But because we're focused on Becky now, if they do a match at Elimination Chamber, it's only going to feature Raw women. Who on the Raw women's roster is going to go to Saudi Arabia? Zelina? Bianca? Who else? I don't know. I mean, Carmella? Possibly. So you look at the Raw women's roster, with all due respect, it's not that strong. Doudrop? We may get Liv Morgan, Bianca, Doudrop, and one other person. And it might be, that might be like your four-way at Elimination Chamber. And let's be honest, that's kind of awful. And let's also say this. You look at the Raw women's roster. Would you want that in the chamber? You look at the opponents in the ring for Bobby Lashley's title. You look at all, including Austin Theory, you look at all the male participants in that match, it is freaking solid. You look at the Raw women's roster, just imagine picking four participants or five and you put them in Elimination Chamber. Becky is not in it. She's taking on Lita. So that is really, really watered down. So that's why even more, I don't think we're getting a chamber match for the women. I'd be very, very surprised. So, all right. I think we are done. I think we are done. So, you know what we'll do? We're at an hour and 50 minutes. 150. How's about for the next 18 minutes, I will answer some very, very quick questions from the chat. Just throw something out there that doesn't require like tons of research and tons of minutes discussion. You know, something quick. But just remember, others out there, if somebody asks a question and I'm answering it, you might want to wait from posting your question because it'll fly by and I won't see it. My favorite breakfast food right now? Favorite breakfast food right now? Eggs, turkey bacon, avocados, little omelet. Favorite keto snack? This actually has a wrestling tie to it. Edge. Loves a keto snack from a company called, I think, Schoolyard Snacks. It is a cereal that is keto friendly. It only has like one carb per small bag. And a lot of people may not know it. Edge did a couple of commercials for them. And that's how I actually found out about the cereal. I think it's called Schoolyard Snacks. If you do a Google search, type in Schoolyard Snacks or Keto Cereal, WWE. Actually write Keto Cereal, WWE Edge, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So my favorite luchador of all time? Right, probably Rey Mysterio. I mean, my God, I've been watching Rey Mysterio for almost 30 years. Almost 30 years. I don't like comic books, Doug. I was never a fan of comic books. Never. My favorite Nitro girl of all time is Spice. And it's not even close. It's not even close. I don't drink too many cocktails. I used to love apple martinis as far as cocktails. I will have a Grey Goose once in a while, straight up. Kurt Angle snacks I've never tried. Anybody remember Angle Foods? Do you remember when I used to, remember the chef from the Muppets? And I would go, Angle Foods, LLC. Oh, man, I used to love making fun of it. Kurt Angle had come out with his own food like 10 years ago or so, and it was awful. If you've never heard of Angle Foods, LLC, type that in a Google search and look it up. Chopped cheese or a cheesesteak? Cheesesteaks all the way. Freaking cheesesteaks. I couldn't believe when Randy Orton and Riddle, I'm trying to always keep a wrestling twist to all these questions. When they were talking about cheesesteaks and Riddle didn't bring up Tony Lukes, I think it was Corey Graves that brought up Tony Lukes. If any of you, listen, one of my favorite memories working for XPW was making runs at Tony Lukes for steak sandwiches, cheesesteak sandwiches. I can't tell you. I mean, I'm not kidding. There was one night that I bought three Tony Luke cheesesteak sandwiches and I put it in my car. And after the XPW show was over and I went to the hotel, I made sure I had a microwave in my room. And late at night, I ate three Tony Luke cheesesteak sandwiches all by myself. All by myself. I don't go on vacations, Damien. I mean, the last couple of years I go to Mohegan Sun, but I have not figured out where I'm going to go on my honeymoon yet. We might, believe it or not, just go to Florida. Tessa Blanchard is still with Women of Wrestling. I think there was some photos actually were posted over the weekend. So she is heavily involved with WOW, and that's not changing. So for everybody that thinks that she's going to go to WWE right now, it ain't happening. Benjamin, was it a work when Ronda Rousey said she hated wrestling and hated wrestling fans? she was being honest, but she was talking about social media and the toxic crap. Remember, she had that freezer chest with meat, and she was showing how she's prepared in case of a crisis, and people tried to, like, throw it in her face like she was entitled and showing it off. I felt bad for Rhonda. Rhonda, there's a lot of toxic crap on social media. That's what she was talking about. I don't think she means that about all of wrestling. No, not at all. Not at all. Oh, my God, Tony Lukes was awesome. My favorite rock band of all time, Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd, love Pink Floyd. I mean, I'd like other groups as well. Pink Floyd would always be my favorite. Thoughts on Joe Rogan? I've never been a fan of Joe Rogan. Never been a fan. I understand why he has the following he does, but I have no interest. You know, I respect people's views out there, even if they're different than mine. But, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I know he's going through controversy right now, all those clips of him saying the N-word. You know, I mean, a lot of it was taken out of context. And I know some of the reasons why he said it, but still, you know, you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. So, let's see. Cuomo suing CNN, breach of contract, doesn't surprise me. Anybody that gets fired from a job always tries to sue to get some type of money settlement. Yeah, I know Rogan interviewed The Undertaker. He interviewed many wrestlers. Still not interested in Joe Rogan. Did not see the new Scream. I liked the original one. Once it got to like the second or third Scream, I was done with it. So, wow. Believe it or not, we actually, that was like 11 minutes, just like this. You want to keep it going, we'll keep it going a few more minutes. Throw them out there. Throw them out there quick. Stuff that people would like. I don't think anybody gives a shit about Nancy Pelosi. Michael Frances, I could care less about, to be honest with you. Maybe a little more specific, but, you know. Do I think Luke Harper should be in this year's Hall of Fame, even if it's a legacy? They put him in, you do not put him in the legacy. In my opinion, I wouldn't put Luke Harper in right now. He didn't have enough years in WWE to be considered a Hall of Famer. And I'm not trying to be cold about that, but, you know, you don't want to put somebody in just because they passed away. If that was the case, you put Chad Gaspard in there. You give him the Warrior Award. You know, but I think Luke Harper will go in the Hall of Fame one day when they put the Wyatt family in. One day the Wyatt family will go in the Hall of Fame. That's when you put in Luke Harper. You do not put Luke Harper in the legacy wing. I think that would be disrespectful. John Cena will not be in AEW Surprise Wednesday. That's not happening. So. Yeah, no, Smurfy, I'm not saying that you think he was a legacy. I'm just saying that WWE did that, it would come off as very disrespectful. So, yeah, I agree with you, Sean. Bray Wyatt, Wyndham, will be back in WWE. You look at him, he's more of a performer than anything else. He's a performer. He is more character-driven than anything else. It's a shame how everything ended up with him in WWE, but, you know, I believe he will be back. He fits WWE 10 times more than he does in AEW, honestly. I really believe that. And when you really think about it, I don't think people really want to see Bray Wyatt, the leader of the Dark Order. With all due respect, you look at the members of the Dark Order. You know, does anybody truly give a shit about 10 Colt Cabana? I'm not saying that they're bad people, but that's what you want Bray Wyatt to lead? You know, it just, that's like what they're doing with Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's got the Hardy family office, and people are like, it just doesn't seem like it fits. Now Andrade's part of it? Why? All right. No. Wyatt's going together, and that's it for the Hall of Fame. Somebody's saying I don't acknowledge Ken. Ken didn't ask a question. By the way, live right now, the results of the poll so far, which will be the latest AEW surprise by February 9th, for the Dynamite. We got, as of right now, 224 votes. Now, look, there is no wrong answer here, but it's very interesting. Out of 224 votes, 43% of you leading right now feel that Keith Lee will be the surprise on Wednesday's Dynamite. That's fabulous, man. I mean, like I said, there's no wrong answer here. It's not who you want to be there. It's who you think will be there. 43% of you say Keith Lee. 37% of you say Jeff Hardy. 14% of you say Killer Cross. And 6% of you say Wyndham. Bob the Builder, shout out to you. Thank you very much for the super chat. Do I think TNT and TBS has been happy with AEW? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, a million viewers is not the same as a million viewers when ECW was on TNN. You have so many other ways to watch AEW programming right now. Of course, TBS and TNT would like fans to watch live first run because of the advertising and everything else. You know, at the end of the day, AEW and the networks want you to watch live on TV, not YouTube. The revenue is totally different. It blow your mind how little money, you know, people don't realize how little money is made on YouTube. So they want you to tune in to the cable, the main live shows. But no, they are absolutely thrilled. Absolutely. There's no way that they're not happy with what they got so far. Matt Cardona is doing a great job in GCW. He reinvented himself. He is getting nuclear heat. Couldn't ask for anything more. Yeah, I think we're going to do this, I think, maybe on Saturdays from now on. For like the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, we'll just get into a whole bunch of questions, you know. Do I think Rock, Jeff Bezos, and Amazon will buy WWE? WWE, they're not looking to sell, but if somebody comes along and offers the right price, WWE will sell. It's not controversy. It's not breaking news. It's not an exclusive. It's just common sense. WWE knows what they're worth. WWE knows the price that they would want if somebody was willing to buy them, and they're not going to publicly tell anybody, and they're not going to publicly, you know, leak it either. If a conglomerate comes along and says, we'll give you $5 billion, $10 billion, I'm just using numbers, they'll sell. They'll sell at the end of the day. And look, you know, there's no guarantee, and I brought this up last week, there's no guarantee that the Fox deal continues 5-10 years from now. There's no guarantee Saudi Arabia renews for many more years. However, I think they will, because WWE's going over and beyond to satisfy them. As the years go by, it's going to get harder and harder, because all of those larger-than-life stars or legends or this and that, you know, it's going to change. Then again, some wrestlers now will be future legends, so... My favorite podcast other than mine right now, honestly, Jim Cornette, the drive-thrus. For years, I disliked Cornette. I just thought the guy was out of his mind. But the more I listen to him now, you know, I know he's got a little, you know, he obviously is way old school and will never change that viewpoint. But one thing about Cornette, the guy loves wrestling like no other. And the reason, and I'm being honest here, the guy I think loves wrestling more than anybody alive. And the reason why I say that is because you may think it's weird on the surface, but the fact that this guy has books and logs, and shout out to Matthew P. Thank you very much, my friend, for that. It was a super, not super stamp, it was a super sticker. Much love. Thank you. You see that he keeps records from 20, 30 years ago and detailed results and this and that. And not only that, he could bang out. I mean, sometimes he's not 100% accurate with his recollections, but this guy remembers so much little tiny detail. And I'm just, you know, really into his stuff right now. Absolutely love it. So I disagree with some of his views, you know, no question. But him and Brian Last, listen, there was a while that people were, you know, convincing me that Brian Last sucks. And Jim Cornette was whacked out of his mind. And, you know, I have my views about Cornette for a long time, but, you know, they go really, really well together. I'm a big fan of their work. Absolutely. Yeah, Cornette's house, you know, that den or, you know, the attic, the way he has everything. The guy loves wrestling. I mean, just loves it. And, you know, God bless him to be, to after all these years, to be this much into it. And you know what? It's cool to see so many people that tune into his work as well. And, you know, good. I'm really enjoying it right now. So with that said, just one last one. David R. got an outside-the-box thought that the Fiend gets revenge in Saudi and attacks Goldberg. Ain't happening. Because Goldberg's final match on his current deal is this one. And you're not going to have the Fiend get brought back in the picture without something leading next. It's not bad. Maybe 2 years ago, he could have done something like that. But yeah, I think that is a memory that WWE wants us to forget. So, all right. Yeah, Alex Romero, the Don Tony signs from 2006. That is my loyal supporters. Don Tony was born around 05, 06, and still to this day, you see signs, visual. Look, man, I know I brag about stuff, and yeah, it gets under people's skin sometimes, but you look, seriously, for the last 17, 18 years, you look at every person who has done a wrestling show, and it's not even close that, you know, my work has had the most signs busted open. Let's be honest. The last 2 years, Busted Open has had a ton of shines shown at wrestling shows. But over the last 17 years, nobody comes close. I think I have 135 different events that have Don Tony signs on camera. And we just had one last Wednesday on Dynamite and on Friday for Rampage. And that is Xylot Themes that you see on Twitter. He had a Don Tony Rock sign. And it's funny because I'll never forget when the Don Tony sign appeared in Saudi Arabia and it was confiscated on camera. And I'll never forget that night when people that have shows and people who have wrestling news sites tried to claim that the Don Tony sign in Saudi Arabia was a shout out to Tony Khan, that Tony Khan is a godfather, that the Don Tony was written for Tony Khan. Until the person who created the sign went on Twitter and said, no, that's for Don Tony of the DTKC show. And that's when people were forced to admit, like, no, that's for a podcaster. And I was like, yeah, fuck you too. So it feels good, man. It's not an ego thing. The fact that you all, you know, after all these years, still enjoy this, spread the word, make a sign, tell others about the show, you know, post it on Twitter, post it on other outlets. You know, that's what keeps this going. You know, you like the show, you subscribe. I mean, it's the only way that the shows get bigger. And it gives me more incentive and it makes it more fun. So did I ever think that I would be doing six shows a week? A little over two years ago, I was chopping it down to the Don Tony and Kevin Castle hour. Once a week, 1 hour, outside of the Patreon show, but once a week, 1 hour. It wasn't fun. It was just, you know, it just got stuck in the mud. This is totally reinvigorated, reinvented, challenged. Another dimension, get to see my eyes, get to see, get a little laminated, animated, get to show you video and screenshots behind a lot of stories that I have yapped for decades. Now you actually get to see the proof. So it just totally transformed. Trust me, I think 2+ years ago, a lot of people would have been very happy if I would have just vanished away and be done. And I'm still, to this day, very blown away at the number of people who were trying to convince me not to come to video and YouTube. So it's not just YouTube for video, it's just video period. It's surprising how many people that were trying to tell me not to do this, you know. And I realize now that some of them were doing that because they wanted YouTube all for themselves, which is cool. You know, it's fine. I've gotten a couple of apologies over the last 2 years, and I accepted them all. But there were people that just with ulterior motives, but they don't matter. You matter. So as long as you keep showing up and spreading the word, unless the boss tells me to stop, I will stay here. So I'm out of here, everyone. Awesome, awesome show as always. If you check this out on the replay, post your comments in the comment section. Take part in the poll. We're at about 230 votes so far, so keep voting, keep voting. And we'll see what happens Wednesday. I tell you, look, I'm excited to see what goes down on Wednesday. I hope it's Jeff Hardy. Because one thing I think we could all agree upon, even if the way he went out with WWE is not the most professional one, I don't think we wanted the last view of Jeff Hardy's wrestling career, you know, TV, major promotion wrestling career. We didn't want the last visual to be, you know, cell phone footage of him just walking off a ring and just walking through the crowd. Because I guarantee you the people that were in that match might have felt a little disrespected. You know, I'm curious, the participants in that match, I wonder how they felt about it. I don't think they would say anything publicly that, you know, Jeff disrespected us also. You know, I think they can understand that Jeff, you know, had his breaking point. But I don't think that was the last visual that we wanted. So if he is reinvigorated and he gets to do a little bit on AEW, good, good. That's a good thing. But I'm still holding out hope that it's Mustafa Ali. It's Mustafa Ali. So this, oh, by the way, this was the shirt that I told you I wanted to get the red magic marker and put the X over Roderick Strong because he's not a member of the group. But I'll keep the shirt as it is because who knows, couple of months from now, you might see Roddy in AEW. So, all right, everybody, have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you're around Sunday night, I will be here for the sit-down, and it will be live calls tomorrow. It'll be live chat as well, but we rotate every other week. Last week was 100% live chat. Tomorrow, we will be taking calls. So if you want to call in and you have a particular topic, question you want to ask, the lines will be open tomorrow. I will tell you that tomorrow, I'm going to announce it on the shows that if people call in, limit your questions to one or two, you know, so we could get a lot of people. Because I have gotten complaints from people like, man, I hit redial like 50 times and you had a guy on for 20 minutes. And I think about it and I say, okay, if I'm the one hitting redial to try to talk to someone else and I not only never get through, but now I have to wait 2 weeks to call in again, I'd be pretty pissed off. So we want to keep everybody happy. So I'm going to tell everybody tomorrow to limit their questions to one or two. I think that is fair. We'll have a fun show. So if you're around tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, right here in Queens, New York. So good night, everybody. Much love as always. Thank you and stay safe. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.